Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday or Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We'll have Corey Curtis for his weekly visit coming up at 8 o'clock. John Glennon from NHL.com joining us at 8:30. So looking forward to that conversation with them. Joe, I was doing some reading over the weekend, and anytime our good friend Jim Wyatt from Tennessee Titans comes out with a mailbag, I always enjoy checking that out. As you know, as someone who also does mailbags, some of the questions that you can get can be quite entertaining sometimes, mm-hmm. and this one was no different with Jim Wyatt, kind of covering a variety of different things. But there was one question and one answer that kind of caught my eye in Jim Wyatt's mailbag on TennesseeTitans.com over this past weekend, and it came from Joe from Jolton. And the question was, what are your thoughts on the status of interior offensive line this offseason? I thought Corey Levin did a pretty good job when he was asked to step in, and I hope he's back at least for depth. I'd like to see us bring back Nate Davis, but from everything I've read, it seems as though most in the know feel he's as good as gone. That was the question from Joe from Jolton on Jim Wyatt's mailbag. And Jim Wyatt responded, "Hey, Joe, always good to hear from you. Hope you enjoyed the road trips I saw you on this season. I like Corey Levin as well, and I agree it would be good to get him back in the mix for depth. As for Davis, I'd be surprised if he's back in 2023. So we've talked about the state of the offensive line for the Titans, the changes that in some cases are going to have to be made this offseason with some new pieces coming in, but also throughout the question, who would you keep? Who is sticking around on this offensive line? Be that Ben Jones, be that Aaron Brewer. Obviously, we feel pretty good about Nicholas Petit-Frere sticking around, given where he was drafted last year and that he played the entire season at right tackle. But Nate Davis is a question mark there, and we thought, all right, if you're the Titans, are you comfortable paying Nate Davis the money we think he's going to ask for, given the injuries and the unavailability that he's had over the course of the past couple of years? Or do you look at it and say, man, if we let him go, look at it, how much we're going to have to change on the offensive line this offseason. Can you really do it in one offseason? So what do you make of the Nate Davis conversation, and what do you make of Jimmy Wyatt saying he'd be surprised if he's back in 2023?
Well, I can't ignore it, you know. I think Jimmy, yeah, for the most part, it's not like he's, I would say, putting a lot of clues and stuff like that, typically. You know, obviously he works for the team, so he's got some information that others don't have access to. But that, yeah, that it's hard not to look at that and say, oh, okay, and take it seriously. And look, it could be as simple as, I mean, he just could know how someone really important in the organization thinks about Nate Davis, and maybe it could be also as simple as not trusting his health, you know? So you put that with another Jim Wyatt interview at the Pro Bowl with Ben Jones, and that's it. You can see where there could be a whole bunch of change and work. It's really interesting with Ben Jones. So here's a couple quotes from him. One, talking about getting the Pro Bowls, the quote is, quote, "just getting rewarded here at the end is special," end quote. Like, okay.
Yeah.
I, you know, what are you saying there? But then he talks about concussion-wise. This is also a quote from Ben Jones. Quote, "concussion-wise, you go through that and get back from that, but you play 11 years, I have to get stuff cleaned up and fixed. My plan this offseason is getting back and healthy and be able to play at a high level again," end quote. Okay. So, and also he's talking about getting some surgeries. Like, you know, how many
surgeries you need?
Just got to get a few surgeries
here.
It's
like Vrabel with the numerous candidates.
Yeah, exactly. So, when he said, quote, also, Ben Jones, "when camp comes around, if I'm able to go and ready to roll, I'm able to go out there and do it." So, I mean, I guess it sounded, I guess right now, based on those two things, I guess you could pencil in Ben Jones at center and someone else at right guard.
I mean,
but what if they, what if it doesn't work out for Ben Jones? And you're talking about some serious moving around. 11 was mentioned in that mailbag, and Aaron Brewer again. Aaron Brewer, he should be a center in the NFL. Is he a starting center in the NFL? I don't know that, but that could be that's been the idea with him. So that could be the corresponding move. I have thought it would be worth re-signing Nate Davis and hoping he can get back to the way he played when he was at his best, which was really good. But maybe they don't think that he can get back to that. And if you are worried about a guy just being able to answer the bell and be out there every week, then I get not wanting to pay him.
Well, we know some level of change is coming on the offensive line. You know, at left tackle, you're going to have to figure out, obviously. And then there's the two guard spots. Like, if you go this route and Nate Davis, you don't feel comfortable bringing him back. Look, I'm not an offensive line expert by any stretch of the imagination. I can't imagine that their long-term plan is to have Aaron Brewer as your starting left guard. Like, it just – with his lack of size there, I agree with you. Like, I think he's more of a center in the NFL. So, are you changing both guard positions this offseason if you're not bringing back Nate Davis? Like, is Aaron Brewer a part of your plans at guard for next season? Is he your backup center next season? Like what do you do at the two guard spots if you don't bring him back? And, oh, by the way, you still got to find the left tackle, be that Taylor Lewan or someone else. Like, that's a lot to work on in one offseason and hope that, like, all three of those spots you can hit if you do that.
Yeah, and hope the right tackle gets a lot better.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's if Ben Jones – my guess is that Aaron Brewer would still be the odds-on favorite to just stay in his spot. It's not ideal because, yeah, it wasn't great. You're going to be able to go upgrade, you know, get someone comparable to Nate Davis when healthy at right guard and then get a starting left tackle. It's a lot.
It sounds like a lot.
Taylor Lewan, cheap deal. Then you just worry, then you address the guard spots. It's a thought. Well, even if you somehow talked him into that, he wanted to do it, you wanted to do it, you still have to. You have to find your next left tackle.
Well,
long-term
exactly.
Left tackle.
Well, that goes into, you know, just the offseason. You've got free agency, which we've talked about at wide receiver. Like, at free agency at wide receiver, there's not a ton there. Like, you can find some guys that have, in some cases, bounced around the league and in other cases have gotten a little older and maybe the money doesn't cost you that much, but the impact hasn't been much from the guys that are available. Like, if you're going for guard, first off, very rarely, unless it's just elite-level players, do you see offensive guards go really, really high in the draft. But you do have a left tackle position to figure out. You do need to address wide receiver. You know, where are you finding your guards? Are you doing it later in the draft? Are you doing it via free agency? Is it a combination of the two? Are you hoping that, like, I don't know, DeMarco Jones is healthy and now he's your starting offensive guard? I don't know. It's a whole lot to accomplish. And that's why we talked about the draft picks. Like, they've got so many needs that they could fill and that they could use in the draft right now that, you know, it'd be great if you could eliminate one of those needs by bringing back a player that's already with you. But if you don't feel good about it, then I guess you don't need to spend that type of money when it comes to Nate Davis. Like, I'm interested to see what type of money he gets on the open market.
Yeah. It's a decent group out there, which is good for the Titans.
Yes.
Maybe not great for him. And maybe that's just the idea with the Titans. It's like, you know, we could pay him, but actually, you know, I like this guy better than him. And this guy, I feel like, is going to stay healthy, you know. So I could see someone. If you look at Nate Davis, you look at Nate Davis at his best, then I think Nate Davis is an appealing. And I guess you could also look at the Titans and say, just get anybody away from the Titans and they'll be like 30% less likely to be injured.
Could be that.
You could look at it that way too. But no, I mean, it's. I mean, I think there's definitely within the free agency period, whether they were to sign him or not, like, there has to be at least one significant signing of an offensive lineman by the Titans. I don't see how they could pop. Yeah, you know, I mean, if not more than one.
Yeah,
but yeah, they've been making bad choices there too. Now, different GM, but it's not just John Robinson drafting poorly at offensive line lately. It's also the guys like
Kendall Lamb, they brought
Lamb
in.
And Jones and these guys just hasn't. And the people they've let go have been decent, at least in their other stops.
Austin from Clarksville on the text line says, "Crazy thought. What if they give Raidens a try for a season at left tackle?" I mean,
well, he's
coming off the ACL, but you know they did eventually get to the point in the Chargers game where they gave him a shot at left tackle, and then he tore his ACL. You're like, okay.
Well. Yeah. He had a good series.
Yeah, had a couple of good looks.
I mean, he looked better than Dennis Daly for a series.
He did.
So
But that's a obviously an extremely limited sample size. And again, when's he going to be ready? Like you tear your ACL in late December. When are you going to be ready next year?
But with him at this point, I guess kind of like Caleb Farley in the same draft. You're just hoping at some point to recoup some value out of him, but I don't even that would be at some point next year being a decent backup.
Yeah.
At one, or I guess like interior, you know, if he's that versatile that you could plug him in anywhere, there's some value to that. But obviously coming off the ACL, he's certainly not going to be your answer going into the season. He has to be out of the equation, you know, when you talk about your tackle depth early.
Jason from Mount Juliet with an interesting question on the text line. Any chance that Brewer's play suffered from the horrible left tackle play? So maybe if you are Vrabel and you're the Titans, you take a look at it, you say, huh, all right, well, how much better would Aaron Brewer be if you had a competent starting left tackle over there? I don't know. I don't know how they feel about that, but I can't imagine that having Dennis Daly next to him was much of a help for Aaron Brewer last year.
I know there's just some times where when you're playing some of the, like, especially like interior guys with length.
Yeah.
Like, for example, when they played Washington, sometimes it is just as simple as you block him. You know, one person blocks the other person, and he got overwhelmed at times because of his lack of size. Now, he had good moments. It wasn't like a complete disaster with Aaron Brewer at left guard. This is how offensive linemen, officials, you know, we notice the mistakes.
Yep.
And cornerbacks. You get torched one time in a game. That's what you remember. You don't remember like the 30 plays where they didn't throw your way because you had good coverage. I mean, Aaron Brewer wasn't a total disaster. But I don't think – I also would not say that it's just about who was next to him. Sometimes you have to block someone. And, look, some of these guys in this league are a problem. And also when you compare it, when you've had those years of Saffold, who, by the way, got torched a fair amount in pass pro, but still Saffold – was so big, so physical. It's just such a huge difference going from him to Brewer at that spot. Yeah. But I think Brewer, in some way, being involved next year is very possible. And I, unlike some people, I think they're a little bit over exaggerating his struggles. I don't think that's a disastrous thing for the Titans.
So, do you think the Titans should re-sign Nate Davis? What do you make of what the offensive line could look like next year? How big of a concern is that to you as you forecast what the Titans could be coming up next season? 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We'll get into all that coming up next. Tomorrow, it's your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty and Superbook Sports. If you correctly guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the game tomorrow night, you want a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Your next chance to participate is tomorrow morning at 8:45. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Join 1025, 1063, The Game this Saturday at 3rd and Home, located at 919 3rd Avenue North in Germantown, for a Preds watch party as the Preds take on the Philadelphia Flyers at 11:30 a.m. Nice little early start on Saturday coming up. Come watch the game, get some Preds swag, and also enter for a chance to win some tickets to an upcoming Preds home game as well. That says the Preds take on the Flyers coming up on Saturday, 3rd and Home in Germantown. So looking forward to that. Right now, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, discussing the Titans' offensive line and the changes that we could see this offseason. Zach from Nashville on the text line says, between free agency and the draft, the guard market is flooded with quality starters. By the time May rolls around, Brewer shouldn't be and likely won't be in the conversation for any starting position unless Ben Jones retires and he's competing for center. This from Zach from Nashville on the text line.
I think that's ideal. Ideally that would be the case. Now, does that mean they're gonna sign two free agents? They're gonna let Nate walk and sign two free agents, sign two veterans, take on the cap implications of that? Or you sign somebody and you draft somebody. This is the thing, like even if Raiden's hadn't torn his ACL, you'd have another option there that you probably feel okay about in the mix there. But yeah, I think ideally Aaron Brewer is in line for a starting spot if Ben Jones decides he can't go.
I would agree with that. And the Ben Jones part of this is interesting. Like, you know, you brought up his quotes in his interview over the weekend at the Pro Bowl. you know, what exactly does he want? I mean, we had the same conversation about Ben Jones last year, right, in terms of is he going to be back? Do the Titans want him back? Does he feel like this is enough for Ben Jones and his body's been through enough, he wants to call it a career? Like, it sounds like he may still want to play, and if he still wants to play, like, I think the Titans will be interested in bringing him back. I mean, Vrabel loves him, and I still think when he's on the field, he plays pretty well out there.
No doubt. I mean, he's a big part of this locker room. He's a good player, and they would gladly have him back. If they do, then you absolutely have to feel good about your depth.
Yes.
Because you just – I mean, you have to be a little bit concerned about the concussions adding up, not to mention – he's had the – I mean, when he's talking about surgeries, I'm sure a knee is part of that because he's had knee stuff for a few years now. So, but if you got another year out of him, sure, the Titans would absolutely take that. And that's right, you know, Brewer – and Levin is – you know, look, Levin – I've always thought Levin was solid. They let him go, you know, a few years ago, and I was a little surprised by that. But Levin and or Brewer, I think, could be – you'd feel pretty good about your backup situation.
How are you feeling at right tackle right now? Because I don't think either one of us believe that they're going to have a starting right tackle other than Nicholas Petitfrere next year, just based on him playing the whole year this year. You drafted him in the third round a year ago. He had some moments this year where he looked pretty good, some moments this year where he looked like a rookie, which you expect of rookie players. Overall, I guess, what did you make of what you saw from him? And if you're the Titans, how are you viewing the right tackle spot right now as you move forward? I mean, that was one of the storylines in training camp was right tackle. And Nicholas Petitfrere won the job, and it was his job all year. How are you feeling about that spot as you move forward?
Well, it's kind of like the same thing I just said about Aaron Brewer. The glaring – I mean, you could say – I mean, if you want, you could say the same thing about Dennis Daly. I think at some point it's like too many of them. You know, the glaring mistakes stand out. So Dennis Daly might have had three horrific snaps in a game and a bunch of good ones, but the three horrific snaps are all we ever talk about, or all we ever see. But the bottom line is, in this league, you have a handful of those, a few of those, sometimes just a couple of those that can make the difference in a game. I thought Petitfrere has had some brutal snaps, especially late in the season.
Yep.
So is that rookie wall stuff, or was there some injury or something? I have no idea. I still think overall there's a lot of promise in what he did. I would expect him, based on what I've been able to see from him, talking to him and all that stuff, I expect him to have a really good offseason and be one of those guys who makes a big leap from year one to year two. That's what I would expect. And I'm sure that's what they expect. That's what they need. I think there's a pretty good chance of that with him. So, and, you know, new O-line coach and all that coming in and right. Everything. I think they're going to be okay there.
The Taylor Lewan conversation to me is really interesting because there are some people that I think totally dismiss that as something that the Titans should consider doing. Like, you know, I've heard TD say a couple times, and I think it's time to move on from Taylor Lewan. I think everybody agrees it's time. Like, there's no way you're paying him that money next year. So he's going to get cut.
Oh, he's cut.
Everybody agrees with that. I mean, I think Taylor Lewan himself knows that based on some comments that he's made on Bussin' with the Boys. I do wonder, like, if you're the Titans weighing the pros and cons, if you could get him back on a reasonable deal. And I guess your definition of reasonable and his definition of reasonable have to line up there. How worthwhile is that conversation if you're the Titans? Because there are some that think it's just time to move on. The Taylor Lewan era needs to be done. It just is what it is. I have no idea if he wants to continue playing. Like, that's the other part of this, too, that I think may factor into this more than anything. Like, does he want to continue playing football right now based on the way things have gone?
Yeah, and And, you know, I'm not going to lie and say I listened to Bussin' with the Boys, but based on things that people have tweeted out, like Michelle, you listen to Bussin' with the Boys?
No, I just listen to clips here and there, but sometimes I listen to the Derrick Henry episode. That was a good one.
But based on what I've heard from him, it doesn't sound like he – I mean, it sounds more like he's leaning more toward not playing. I think to talk him into it – first of all, if you even want to talk him into it, but to talk him into it, I think – he'd have to feel good about also, like, next year's team having a real chance to do something. Which I personally think they might have a little bit better chance if they had him on a super cheap deal. But how does he feel about Henry, Tannehill, you know, the defense, Vrabel? Can that team make an actual run? Because I think if if he's coming back and he thinks it's a 9-8 team, I have my doubts that he'd even want to deal with it after two straight ACL surgeries.
I do too. But like, I keep going back to, if you don't do that, like if that's not something you entertain if you're the Titans, like you got a whole lot to fix this offseason. Now, having said that, I also agree with those who say, well, okay, let's say you bring Taylor Lewan back and he's on a cheap deal. Like, does it really change the formula all that much from what you have to do anyway? Like, you have to go find another left tackle, even if Taylor Lewan's coming back.
Yeah.
Now,
you need to be in a situation where you're not relying on Dennis Daly to protect your quarterback.
For sure. Now, if Taylor Lewan is back, and let's say Paris Johnson is available at number 11 overall, does that change the way you view that? Like, to me, it shouldn't. Like, if you feel like he's your left tackle of the future, then you go take him, right? Whether Taylor Lewan's back or not. But having said that,
you take a receiver.
You still need a wide receiver. Like, you need, in my opinion, multiple wide receivers.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I agree. To me, it's like you have to fix it, and you also have to – and they've tried. They've tried with Lamb. They've tried with Jamarco Jones. But you have to have more depth. You got to have – in this league, there maybe aren't a lot of great offensive lines in this league. There are some. And by the way,
one of
the best is in the Super Bowl, and a good one on the other side. But like finding depth, because you know you're going to have injuries, and the Titans have had in recent years, they've been able to plug in some guys and be okay. They weren't obviously last year. Again, last year was brutal, and they swung the trade for Dennis Daly to make it not as brutal. Imagine had they not done that. I guess we just would have seen a whole bunch of Dylan Radins. I'm not sure Dylan Radins would have been worse than Dennis Daly over that time. I don't know, but regardless. You got to address depth. So if you had Lewan, yeah, I agree. You need to still find your left tackle of the future. But maybe you in that situation, you drift a little more toward receiver and you get the tackle in the third round. I mean, that could change the equation. Austin from Clarksville says, reports on the Titans really high on CJ. I assume you mean CJ Stroud.
I would assume that's the CJ you're referring to.
Have you seen – I missed this.
Well, look.
But there's a whole bunch of crap that flies around for the next few months.
Yeah, there's that, but also like if you're really high on CJ Stroud, that's great. Probably not get him at 11. So
no,
have to go move up,
right?
Which they could do.
But you may not have to move up to one.
May not, or you may.
And as far as being high on him again, there's so much more information that all these teams don't have yet that they're about to get in about a month. You know, to help you start really forming those opinions.
Yeah, and there's a lot of like I saw some Vol Twitter over the weekend. Oh, man, the Titans talked to Hendon Hooker. Be great if they drafted Hendon Hooker. And I'm not saying the Titans wouldn't be interested in Hendon Hooker. I'm like, Hendon Hooker's probably going to end up having a conversation with about 25 teams.
Every team.
Yeah.
I think he talked to every team.
Yeah.
So, yep.
Just keep that in mind. 615-737-1025. We'll take more of your thoughts on the Titans, some decisions they have to make at offensive line this offseason. We'll also look ahead to the Super Bowl coming up next as well. All that ahead. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Our buddy Alex from Montreal on the Taylor Lewan discussion says, no guarantees that he doesn't get hurt again, and that's a great point to bring up. I mean, we know there's no guarantees with everybody, but like if you're the Titans, for me to even consider this, I mean, there's a lot of things that have to fold into place. Number one, he's got to be open to coming back and playing. Number two, it's got to be for the right amount of money. And number three, the medical report has to convince you that his knee is completely healed. And
that's to convince him. I mean, but that's the thing. He wouldn't even consider this if. Right, like if he didn't feel like the second surgery worked.
Well, after this most recent injury, he went on his podcast a few days later, and at some point talked about how at some point down the road we're going to talk about what happened with my knee the first time and his perspective there. I've not heard him do that yet. I would imagine that's coming at some point, but like obviously, I think reading between the lines, something didn't go right after his first time he tore the ACL in terms of the recovery and maybe the surgery part of it. And now, how much better has that gotten? Is it going to be completely healed this time? If it's not, you're right. Like, I don't think he would even consider doing it. But you got to be convinced of that if you're the Titans, too. Of, okay, is this thing actually fixed and the ACL is healed? Now, he could go back out there in the second week of training camp and re-injure something else, and that's a risk that everybody takes. But two ACLs is not something you could just ignore if you're the Titans.
No, of course not. And yeah, there's definitely no guarantee. Again, that's why he's cut. And then, look, we've talked about this quite a bit. This may be, like, you know, laughable in the building. I don't know.
Could be.
But I still believe that if he wanted to play, was motivated, was healthy, the second surgery took, that he could be pretty good left tackle in the NFL, probably for a couple more years if he wanted to. And certainly much, much better than what the Titans had going on last year. Now, better than, you know, let's say Paris Johnson is just ready to plug and play, for example, you know, at left tackle. Better than that? I don't know. It'd probably be similar. You're talking about a veteran who's played at a high level in this league, and you're talking about a rookie. You figure the rookie's going to take some lumps. But, again, to me, you want both. You want Luan, if possible, and then and you want your developmental rookie who is going to be your long-term left tackle.
Got a question about T. Higgins on the text line, too. I'm interested to see what happens there. We all know, like, at some point, the Bengals, whether it's now or a couple years down the road, like, you're probably not going to be able to pay Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, and T. Higgins the money that they all want. And I would assume that T. Higgins is probably the odd man out in that discussion. And there have been some rumblings about, could that happen now? Like, could the Bengals this offseason decide to move on from T. Higgins and get a haul back because they don't want to pay that amount of money? I would say this, like, if you're the Titans, I would be I'd be asking about that if that opportunity became available. I think T. Higgins is really good.
I do too. You know, T. Higgins is, I mean, you're talking about 3 years in this league, and look, there is something for the last couple years to be said for being the other guy with Ja'Marr Chase on the other side. How much does that help you out? I'd say a fair amount. I mean, the last 2 years, almost identical season. 74 for 1091 and 6 touchdowns. 74 for 1029 and 7 touchdowns. You know, 14-7 a catch, 13-9 a catch. Great numbers. An elite 2 in this league. Big part of their success. Yeah, like Corey Davis had really good numbers that 1 year, you know, across from A.J. Brown. I think it kind of helped to have A.J. Brown and Derrick Henry on his side, and it's kind of played out that way, right?
Like, I would say so.
There are people who benefit and maybe look a little better than they are. I don't think that's T. Higgins. Now, is T. Higgins a straight-up 1 in the NFL for somebody? I think he'd be a number one receiver for a lot of teams in this league, but is he a quote-unquote number one receiver? I don't know, but, like, if you had T. Higgins and then Treylon Burks came on, all of a sudden you'd feel pretty good about your receiving situation.
You'd
feel way, way better.
There's no question about that. A perfect summation of what the text line could be like sometimes. And we love everyone on the text line.
Not really, but yeah.
But we have, like, a couple people like, Taylor Wan's done, move on, what are we even doing?
Right.
And then
right.
We have Josh on the text line. Taylor Wan's coming back. There's no one that stands out in the draft that will come in immediately and be a better option. His knee wasn't repaired correctly. He spoke on that in his podcast. He's also said in the past he wants to retire as a Titan. He'll make a deal. It'd be a surprise comeback player. Hot take or blind optimism, but that's what I believe. This is from Josh on the text line. That doesn't sum up the text line of, why are you talking about this? Or, yeah, Lawan's coming back. What are we talking about?
I like that your voice for Wyatt was like, rah, rah, you know, and then more like the normal voice for Josh. So just to keep in mind, though, Josh, like, he already is retiring as a Titan if he retires. You know, I agree. I don't think he's going to play for another team.
You don't think he's going to be the left tackle for the Pittsburgh Steelers next year?
Yeah, well, I don't think so. Maybe he could go be a backup left tackle for the Lions. Go back to the great state of Michigan. No, I think it's here and a much lower – because no one else out there is going to give him some big number at this point.
No.
But, man, anybody who has watched him play and doesn't think that he still has some good football in him, I don't know what you're looking at. Like, But again, even before he got hurt, watching him in camp this year, I mean, he's a very good left tackle. And it just comes down to when you have two ACLs in a row and you are thinking long term. We know he's thinking long term about his health. He's talked before about the, you know, the brain stuff he's been trying to. I mean, he had some nasty concussions. It just really so much. It basically just comes down to whether he wants to put himself out there again.
Joe, it is Super Bowl week. The Eagles and the Chiefs taking place later this week in Super Bowl 57. As you look at this game, as you look at the week leading up to this, Media Day is coming up. So we'll see if A.J. Brown has anything to say at Media Day. Looking forward to all that. But what is the most intriguing storyline in this Super Bowl to you as we look ahead to the big game this Sunday?
So just for me, I mean, the Kelce brothers story is great. I do think that this is for me, it's just the game. I'm really excited for the game and the matchups. I think that this is it's a little bit of a narrative set. Look, this is another possibility. First of all, Jalen Hurts is a better quarterback than I thought he'd be in the NFL. He's very good. But if the Eagles win, it's yet another example of you can do it without a Mahomes, a Brady, a Rodgers. You know, it's another example of build a great team and you can win with a good quarterback. You know, Chiefs win it. We're talking, I think the dynasty, discussion is there. Two for those guys. And it's more like, say, this is why you got to have a Mahomes. Is when it comes down to it, the Eagles may have been the better team, but they had Mahomes. So part of it is like what will be the discussion afterward. But I do think the illumination of the Andy Reid. This Andy Reid just, I feel like no one in the league doesn't like him. And I think, you know, I just really, anybody who pays any attention to him has to appreciate his personality, who he is. And also like the Andy Reid tree.
Yep.
Been very, very good. It's very underrated. And this is sort of bringing to light all the different, you know, coaches under him who have gone on to do good things.
This is an interesting game for me because I think the Eagles have the better offensive line. I think the Eagles have the better defensive line. I think the Eagles have the better wide receiving core. I think the Eagles have a better defense overall. But they don't have Patrick Mahomes. They have better running back. Like we can go up and down the list. Now obviously they don't have the better tight end and they don't have the better quarterback.
And but I don't they still think, have like a top like what, five tight end in the league?
He's pretty good.
Probably.
Yeah, he's pretty good. Like I think the Eagles are the better team. That's a long way of me saying that. Is that going to be what matters, or is Patrick Mahomes going to be what matters in this game? I mean, you brought it up. This is a classic test of that. And look, Andy Reid, I think, is a great coach. You know, Nick Sirianni, to his credit, has done a way better job in Philadelphia than I ever thought he would, especially after that introductory press conference that he's referenced a couple of times. It was pretty bad. But he's done a great job. I'm really excited for this game on the field. I think it's going to be a great game. I think Mahomes is going to make some plays, especially if his high ankle sprain has had some time to heal out there. He can move around a little bit more. But I think in some ways, Joe, doubted the Eagles a little bit all year long. And even in the last game, like I thought San Francisco was going to win. Now, granted, Purdy got hurt. But I'm on the Eagles train. I'm going to Philadelphia on Sunday.
Okay. Oh, I already make
it. Could be the kiss of death.
I already making the call. Yeah, I am really – I'm really unsure. I really bounce back and forth on this one. I think, you know, I mean, I agree with everything you said. The Eagles are the better football team, but I don't know. I think I'm probably going to go back and forth a few times before we get to the actual game. So I hope that means that we're going to get a great one.
I hope it does as well. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 745. We will do that. Coming up next, but let me tell you about my friends at FanDuel Sportsbook. We all have our systems when we bet, from picking the perfect upset to combing through injury reports the night before the game, or maybe some player props or game props that have worked for you in the past. But there's one thing every bettor should include in their system, and that's the responsible gaming tools that are available on FanDuel Sportsbook. These tools help keep your play in check and under control. Tools like time limits, so you don't unknowingly spend more time on the app than you intended. Wager limits available as well to help prevent you from betting more than you should. And you can even take a timeout, which pauses your account for as long as you may need. All of this available on FanDuel Sportsbook, and FanDuel wants every bettor's experience to be about fun and entertainment. So visit FanDuel.com/playwell. Once again, that's FanDuel.com/playwell, and make responsible gaming tools a part of your system. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. If you have a gambling problem, call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Glorious, and I'll sit here, I'll live it there, till I'm victorious.
It's so stupid. It's a terrible song. I mean, I know it was some pro wrestling song, but like, enough.
Need to clip that up, that's for sure. Play that many times in the future.
Please don't.
Would be great.
No, what happens in the 6 o'clock hour is not clippable. That should be a rule on this show.
And it is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. And I feel like we're approaching a Rex Rant on continuing to use this song coming back in. But I'm here for it every time.
Yeah, probably shouldn't, never gets old. Shouldn't do it on Monday, but... I have a serious suggestion on that one. I think that you should cut the clip at him just saying, just clip that up. I think it's better that way. It's more efficient. And it, like me saying, blah, 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 6 a.m. hour is like, eh, whatever. It doesn't really add anything to it. You know what I'm saying?
I do think Robbie and I love that part, though.
Really?
I just love the whole thing.
I mean, the meat of it is my glorious singing, right? But
well, yeah, for
anyway,
sure.
Just a thought. All right, I got a little bit of a grab bag today. So, okay. You know, Monday, you come back with a bunch of checks. First of all, I want to start with a quick shout-out to my buddy Benny Wong, who, as I talked about in a previous Rex Rant, passed away of esophageal cancer. This weekend in Chicago, we had his funeral, which was a celebration of life. But basically, Benny's like, I will not have a funeral. There will be no funeral. Funerals are sad. So what he did was, before he died, he rented out McGee's Tavern in Chicago. He paid for full open bar for 10 hours. The whole place was ours and a buffet. And basically was like, honor me.
Wow.
And we did. So shout out to him and to all the people who showed up. I mean, the place was absolutely packed. So Nancy Armour, USA Today sports columnist, who I've worked with some in the past, in this place. I'm like, what the heck are you? And I knew she lived in Chicago. I'm like, what are you doing? She's like, what are you doing here? You're friends with Benny Wong, too? Oh, my God. Everybody's friends with Benny Wong. Anyway, love you, Benny Wong. Rest in peace. And that was a fantastic way to honor him. I also want to quickly throw in something about I said earlier, but I need – this could be a separate rant, but it's fine.
Okay.
So I don't understand the Tony Romo thing. I don't get it. I don't think he's any different at all. Maybe he messed up more, or he's even a little bit more like jittery and goofy. But hasn't he always been that? They're doing an intervention now? I don't understand this.
Well, you know, when he first started, the diagnosing the play that was coming before the snap, all that stuff was great. Like, people loved it, and he doesn't do that as much anymore. But as far as like his demeanor, I would agree. It's pretty much the same as it's always been. He's always kind of been like a happy 12-year-old in the booth. Like, it's kind of the way he is. Now, I will say, and you and I talked about this after the AFC title game, like, some of the stuff that he does sometimes kind of works my nerves a little bit. Like, oh, what's going to happen here, Jim? It's like, oh, well, it's right. What you're paid to talk about, Tony. So why don't you talk about it?
Yeah, I mean, I get that bothering people. It doesn't seem like it's all that different. But anyway, I want to talk today about, well, let me just tell you about an email I got. Let's see, this was yesterday, or no, I guess it was Saturday. Saturday night, 6:15 p.m. And the email, I'm not going to say the sender, because I'm not going to give any extra attention. But I do want to tell you about the email. It just says tip.
Like, oh, that's okay, always good.
Tip.
It's a great start.
And here's the email. Go, all caps, F U, bleep, bleep, yourself. Go Vols.
All right.
Yes. And I'm like, okay, I guess I know what that's about. Because at the end of the Tennessee-Auburn game, Olivier Kamwa absolutely fouled Wendell Green. Like, it should have been three shots to try to tie the game. It was a blatant foul.
Yes.
I knew you'd agree with me. But it was. I mean,
I was watching it at the wedding.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Nice. No, it was a blatant foul. I mean, he jumped into the cylinder, as they call it, and he made, not heavy, but he made contact up high. Now, our buddy Wes, who was on the show earlier, had a tweet like, well, if you're going to call that, then you got to be honest, because they, like, pushed Vesey. And that's fine. There's bad calls. They also, the balls, I thought, had a five-second call. They didn't call. I mean, you can go on and on. Anyway, I simply tweeted about this, and I once again was reminded, if you want to take on Vol Twitter,
oh boy,
have at it. But, you know, just be prepared. So there's a lot of comments. And again, most of the comments are just, like, arguing with me. But even that is like, guys, if you flip the jerseys around, it would be a freaking congressional investigation about the horrific foul on Auburn. So my tweet was, quote, Bruce Pearl bypasses a Rick Barnes handshake to scream at the refs, and he has beef. Absolutely should have been a foul on Kamwan. Three foul shots to force overtime. More quality SEC officiating. And, yes, the absolute. But my favorite tweet back I got was, this is one of my favorites, from Allen. Says, Joe just likes to hate on Tennessee and be controversial for clicks.
Yep.
Trying to be like Paul and Jared. He's just not as good at it. Yep. It is true. I am no Stilly or Pauly. But I love that. Well, is,
for the Twitter clicks.
I love the clicks, man. I love the click. Give me those clicks.
Yep.
Watch the play. Pretty obvious what happened. Give me the Twitter clicks. The Twix. Give me a Twix.
Could go for a Twix.
Actually, I could go for a Twix, too. Yeah. So anyway, it was a little bit of a reminder of all Twitter. Just look, guys, it's okay. There are bad calls, okay? Your team gets some. The other team gets some. This happens. Sometimes it screws you over. I mean, I still think Tennessee got screwed over by the refs in the Music City Bowl here a couple of years ago. And people, you know, wrote about that. People got all mad about it. In this case, you got bailed out. And another thing I got from people, which is a pet peeve, is the whole, they're never going to call it at that point in a game.
You know, that drives me nuts.
Don't decide the game. You decide the game if you don't call an obvious call. You decide the game just as much by not calling something that should be called as you do by calling something.
Correct.
Now, if you call something that shouldn't be called, now then we can talk about it.
Exactly. But
the idea that, nah, at the end there, just let them do absolute pro wrestling. It's the end of the game. I mean, I
hate when people say that.
Like, so many people say that.
You have to. Like, especially if it's going to tie the game or it's going to be a game-winning shot. Specifically that play.
Well, yeah, no, just make the right call. I don't care when it is. Make the right call.
Yeah.
If it's a foul, call it. If it's not, don't. Period.
You know, this is a great rant, but you know what my favorite part about it is? And I don't even know if you're going on Wednesday night when Tennessee plays Vanderbilt.
Oh, yeah.
But I can just already foresee something going Tennessee's way and you talking about it, and then Vanderbilt fans getting all over you.
Oh, it's going to be great.
We could have the opposite of this coming up on Thursday. I love the heat from both sides that you get.
I hate your
team. It's beautiful.
I hate your team. Yeah.
Vandy Ball Joe.
Vandy Joe. You got a lot of nicknames out there.
V-squared.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the thing is, I've muted a fair amount of both fan bases. Definitely a lot more Tennessee fan. I mean, there's just a bigger fan base, bigger outrageous Twitter presence there. But there's still muting to happen. There's still the muting has
can't
not all been
all
done.
Them.
Yeah. Yep. Well, you can.
Well, I guess you
I
could.
May try.
Or just delete Twitter. Remember that convo a couple weeks ago?
I know.
That would be muting all.
That would be.
I know. I think I'm getting cold feet on that for now. But it's not dead. It's not over.
Right.
It could happen still.
Matt on the text line says, Tennessee alumni here, diehard volunteer fan. Joe is right. This is from Matt on the text. I mean, it's pretty clear foul.
Well, and let me say, there were plenty of comments on that tweet that were like, I agree, you know. And some were like, but the biggest argument is like, he kicked his feet. I'm like, yeah, I know he kicked his feet, but he'd already been contacted up high. Yes. Wendover, he kicks his feet all over the place. He looks like he's trying to be Daniel LaRusso out there. I get it, okay? But it doesn't change this particular play. So, but there were plenty of people that were like, yeah, I mean, yeah, it was the right call. So, thank you. Thank you for that.
You're very welcome. This has been the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 7:45. Coming up next, we'll be joined by our friend Corey Curtis from News 2. Appointment listening, as he calls it every Monday morning at 8 o'clock. We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.